welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Not only should we use Bible words to express Bible thoughts and Bible teachings, we ought not use Bible words the way the Bible does not use them. It is not proper to use biblical terms to mean something other than what the Bible means in their use. Now, there are many words that are often misused, as if they were properly being used, such as church, saints, bishop, pastors, priest, many others. And this is also true the way that the world uses the term Christian. Those words are found in Scripture and they have meaning in Scripture and they refer to specific things. But to use them in ways that are not biblical, friend, that's to abuse the Word of God. And the word Christian, it is used in a much broader and inclusive sense than what the Bible means by it. The name Christian is usually and generally respected and considered an honorable name, at least among most people. It's representative of goodness and purity and righteousness. Now, this is not always the case with everyone, however. Many look upon that name with great hatred and contempt and reproach. We have heard the term Christian, however, attached even to political parties, warring factions engaged in literal military conflicts, the Christian warfare, as if it were a carnal warfare, and any and every kind of operation, whether it's in harmony with the will of Christ or not, the name Christian is attached to it. It's attached to churches and the schools and the businesses and many other things that would constitute an abuse of the term rather than a biblical use of the term. Is there anything in a name? It's strange how some contend there's nothing in a name. People do not feel that way in other matters of life except in religion. They have their businesses. They want them named after themselves. They buy products and they want brand names. Ford would not allow Chevrolet to place a Chevrolet name on its cars. The canned goods in the store are identified by names that are protected by patents and other regulations. People are generally careful about naming their children. But when it comes to religion, people somehow abandon all sense and all reason. It is nothing but a transparent attempt to somehow justify the use of many varying names in churches in which the denominational world delights. Consider the Lord's naming of names. He gave names to Abraham and to Sarah, and to John, the baptizer, and to Israel. He even gave the name of Jesus to Jesus. Now, if God considers names important, who are we to say otherwise? And it was God that gave the disciples of Christ the name Christian. Isaiah 62, 1 and 2, it was prophesied, "For Zion's sake I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all the kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name." Righteousness would go forth from Jerusalem. Gentiles would also be included. And at that time, God would give his people a new name. Well, in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, the church in Antioch was an integrated church in that it was composed of both Jews and Gentiles. And the passage reads, "And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." This is a specific and direct fulfillment of the words given in Isaiah. The name Christian was not a derision given to the followers of Christ by their enemies. It was not a nickname given to them by uncaring people. It was a name that honored Christ and was given to them by the Lord himself. The word called referred to that which deity has done. James speaks in James 2 and verse 7 of that worthy name by which ye are called. Friend, the term Christian is used three times in the New Testament, and by studying these instances we can determine who is a Christian. Now, there are other passages that identify those who have the right to that name, but our study is going to be confined to these three passages. In Acts chapter 11 is one of the places that we've already mentioned where the name Christian is given. Suffice it to say that the term was stamped upon those who heard the gospel, who believed it, and who obeyed it. Focus our attention on the word turned, as is found in verse 21. We know that this word means more than just repentance, a change of mind. It includes action as well. Like the phrase, be converted, in Acts 3 and verse 19, it includes even that part of conversion that follows repentance, completing the complete turning from sin to Christ. To learn what all this involves, we also must consult Acts 2 and verse 38, repent and be baptized. The people at Antioch had heard the gospel, verse 20. They had believed the gospel, verse 21. They turned to the Lord by obeying it. And by following this divinely given process, they became the followers of Christ. And they were granted the privilege of wearing the name that honors Christ. Paul teaches that we should be named after the one whose disciples we are, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 3. Brethren in Corinth were wearing names after various men, and people do that even yet. Well, Paul condemned that practice, and it is to be condemned even yet. Paul asked, were you baptized in the name of Paul? Of course they were not. Was Paul crucified for you? Of course he was not. It was Christ that had done that for them. Therefore they ought not be called after men, even though these men were admirable in many respects. They ought to be called after Christ. Those who had the right to wear the name of Christ were those who were his disciples, having become so through faith and obedience to the gospel. A Christian is one that's been baptized into Christ for the reasons that the Scripture teaches, and who continues to follow in his steps as any faithful disciple would of his master. Now, some object that this de-Christianizes many religious people who claim to be Christians. We would answer that regardless of what conclusion must be accepted, the fact remains that the Bible uses the term to identify penitent, baptized believers. By what right do we call anyone in Christ who has not done what the Bible says must be done to be called a Christian? Many have erroneously taken unto themselves the name Christian, even though they have not obeyed the gospel of Christ. This is a brazen fallacy among denominationalists, and it is presumptuous. But you cannot de-Christianize those who have never have become Christians, as the Bible teaches. We're simply affirming what the Scripture says. And friend, that cannot be wrong. In Acts chapter 26, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Now Paul was before Agrippa when he made these words. He had been arrested because he had been preaching the faith of Christ. And in his defense he continued to preach the gospel. It was his opportunity to preach to these worldly leaders in their courts the glad story of salvation just as the prophets had foretold. And Paul was convincing. And Agrippa was almost persuaded to be a Christian. Paul wanted him to be as Paul was, except for being in bonds. Now you look more closely at Paul. Paul had once been an unbeliever, but now he was a believer. He had obviously been made a change of mind in his heart, in repentance, regarding Christ. And being instructed to be baptized, Acts 22:16, he obeyed. And because he had done this, he could rightfully wear the name of Christian. From the time of his conversion, he busied himself seeking others to be Christians. Friend, there's no consistent way for one to claim to be a follower of Christ and to walk in his steps and be indifferent toward those who are yet lost, but seeking the lost, even as our Lord did. The difference between Paul and Agrippa was that Paul was in Christ, having been baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27, Romans 6:3-4. And inasmuch as he was now in Christ, he wore the name that honors Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, and also 16, is a passage that warns and encourages the Christian regarding persecution and the hardship that may come his way because he is a Christian. Suffering is not uncommon to the human family, and people can suffer for doing good as well as for doing evil. Peter urged the Christian not to be ashamed if he suffered as a Christian. He warned them against suffering for doing evil, however, but Christians can and expect some to be very hostile toward them. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Jesus once said in John 15:18, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. And John wrote in 1 John 3 and verse 13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. But while suffering is not to be taken lightly, suffering for the cause of Christ is noble, and it's one way the name of Christ can be glorified. Those who suffered in New Testament times had the attitude toward suffering as depicted in Acts 5 and verse 41. It reads, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. In Matthew 5:10 through 12, blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Dear listening friend, there is no authority in Scripture for disciples and followers of Christ to wear any other religious name than that of Christ. We wonder why men think it proper to take unto themselves names which show allegiance to men, and to doctrines, and to governments, and to systems, and to ideas that are not even related to what Scripture teaches and authorizes. Is it not another instance where men consider God's word inadequate and God's way insufficient? And what name do you wear religiously? If someone approached you, what are you religiously? What sort of denominational name would you spew out of your mouth? Friend, is it more or less or other than the name found in the articles of God? We can be Christians without the additions and subtractions of men's ideas. Indeed, what right or need do we have for any other name? This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.